Thank you, Jerry, for asking me to share God's word today. I'm so blessed to do so. I'm going to share on doing God's word and having fun. So you can take your Bibles and go to John chapter 2. So John chapter 2, and in verse 1, it says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage." Look at this. You ever get called to a wedding and you get to bring your friends? "And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him," they have no wine. Uh-oh. Is that a good thing at a wedding? No, it's terrible. Gosh, verse 4. "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." And that term woman, you know, it sounds a little funny in English, but it's very respectful. You think Jesus was respectful to his mom? I mean, his mom, think about it, Mary, okay. She's the one that said, "Okay, be it unto me according to thy word," right? So verse 5, "His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece." However much wine that is, I'm going to tell you, I looked it up. I never knew. It's a lot of wine. You know, sometimes you get the mind picture, it's like a few cups, like communion, you take a little sip. This was like, okay, this is approximate. You could look it up yourself and check the customs and everything. Like 600 bottles of wine, okay? We're talking a lot of wine, okay? Some people had some fun with that. I was blown away by that, you know? Verse 7, "Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they fill them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto them, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." Woo, Manischewitz to Romani Conti Grand Cru. I looked up, you know, one of the most expensive wines, you know, okay? It's French. It's over $140,000 a bottle. And I think Bob has a little leftover of the wine that Jesus made. So if you want to taste some, you can go see Bob. He has a little bottle. You could taste it if you want. But look at this, verse 11. "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples," what? They believed on him. Jesus Christ's first miracle. God could have picked anything. He really could have picked some amazing thing that was like, you know, look at all the things he did in the Old Testament. Could he have done something crazy, something so big, something so wild? But God chose this to make water into wine at a wedding so they could have a good time together. Okay? Think about that for a moment. What does that say about God? And how he is and what he's all about. I love that about God. I don't know if I'd be in God's word if God wasn't like that. You know, I got in God's word when I was 11, and I'm still in God's word because God is like that. Water into wine at a wedding so that they could have a good time. Jesus Christ's first miracle. So fantastic. It had been about 450 years since a man of God performed the miracle when he did that. But what a great reason to celebrate with some wine Jesus Christ was there. And that was the first thing he did. Pretty awesome. Jesus Christ, Godson, Jesus Christ. He's here. Celebration time. Galatians 5:1. Isn't that tremendous? We could just end the teaching there. That's it. That's what God chose for his son to do. Water into wine at a wedding so they can continue to have a wonderful time together. Galatians 5:1. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us what?
Free.
Free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The word liberty, there is freedom. Stand fast in the liberty. That's freedom. You see, we don't have to do anything. That is so cool. We get to do stuff. We're free people, you know? I do not consider myself religious. In fact, it's almost a prerequisite for me to have fun while I'm doing God's word. You know, I used to tell people that would potentially live with me, okay, you know, you're gonna need to do your best to keep God first and have fun while you're doing it. And that worked pretty well. We had some crazy happy households just cracking up together. I want to share a memory I have, a great memory. When I was about 22 years old, I made a schedule for the week. You know, Monday do this, Tuesday do this and stuff. And I was telling Jerry all about it. And on different days, I said, you know, fellowship, witness, read God's word. And then on Saturday, I said, have fun. And he took that paper from me and threw it across the room and said, what? Oh, the rest of the time, you're not going to have fun. You're just going to have fun some other time, right? And I was like, oh, damn. What a lesson. There is no separation from doing God's word and having fun. That was like some kind of, oh, wow. I was like, of course. Absolutely. I'll never forget that. James chapter 1. Hebrews James. James chapter 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed in his deed. Look at that. Doing God's word, you're going to be blessed. You know, looking into that perfect law, that's the word of liberty. Again, that's freedom. And it's unrestrained license as a citizen, not a slave, exempt from obligation or liberty. Oh, sorry, liability. That's freedom, you know. And work there, to do the work, that's an act or a deed, you know, doing a thing. We do God's word, don't we? Isn't believing action, or is it just sitting there agreeing with the word? Oh, yes, I know God's word and I agree with it. Yep. But you never get off your butt or do anything with it. What is that, you know? It's doing God's word. It's actually believing it. It's walking out on it. It's performing it. It's bringing it to pass in your life. It's taking it step by step and applying it and actually doing it. It's a thing done. And then you're going to be blessed. You're going to be happy. That's what it says there. Happy, blessed there is happy, feeling, or showing pleasure or contentment. When you do God's word, you'll be blessed with your feelings. That just changed my life when I heard that. You know, so many people, they go by their feelings. That's not the deal. We do God's word in our life, and then as a result, we're blessed with our feelings. That's God's design, you know. Otherwise, we're just led around the world the adversary was his finger up our nose and just pulling us around, you know? We don't let our feelings control the deal. We do God's word and apply it, and then we're really blessed with our feelings as a result. John 10:10. I think it was quoted before. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. John 10:10. It's too good. It's too good. It says here, the thief, that sucker, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that gives a lot of people a lot to complain about, right? But Louise taught about being thankful, even in, though that's the adversary's goal. Look what Jesus Christ said. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Does that sound like a drag to you? Does that sound like a life that's burdened down, that you just got everything on your shoulders and you just got the face of this one of the saints in Italy and the postcards all over the place that looks like this? I went to Italy with my wife and I saw, you know, all the saints all over the place. I was like, who's that guy? So it's the most rewarding and enjoyable life that God has made available to us, a more than abundant life. God can turn our lives from water to wine, a more abundant life with tremendous fruit and joy. You know, we can spend our life working on our problems. Everybody knows your own problems, right? We know our own problems better than anyone else, don't we? The idea is not to spend our life just trying to work on that problem all the time. Otherwise, you're just going to be a big old problem. You got to do the stuff that you're good at and enjoy your life doing it. Maybe you'll never be good at some things, but you're good at other things. Do that. Luis read Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. He read that verse, and that was really cool. And what he said was right. You know, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, a beautiful face, he said. And I looked that up too, and it also has sound involved. That word cheerful, it also involves sound. You ever hear a cheer? What's a cheer sound like? Let me hear it. A cheerful heart. It's sound involved. It's also a beautiful sound. So you look beautiful and you sound beautiful. That's just awesome. You know, fear is something that absolutely prevents us from being free in our heart. Fear prevents us from so many things in life and prevents us from living that more than abundant life. 1 John chapter 4. Then in verses 17 and 18, it says here, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You see, fear just gums up like sand in a machine. Fear sucks. I don't know what word that is in Spanish, but it's not a good one. Fear is terrible. It has torment. You know, it stops us from enjoying life. It stops us from having fun in life. Fun. You know, when I think of fun, fear is not involved. Fear is not fun. An example of some of the fears that I've had in my life are just being able to talk in front of people or just being able to speak, you know. But God wants us to speak his word, doesn't he? another fear that many people have when they get into God's word is of manifesting tongues with interpretation and prophecy at a fellowship. You know, I remember being nervous about that. So nervous about it. One day I was at a fellowship and I was like 12 or 13 and somebody called and it was a big fellowship with like over 100 people. They said, "Dean, speak in tongues and interpret." And I was like, "Oh, me?" And then some other dude named Dean stood up and did it. And I was like, "Oh my gosh. Woo." But then I grew in God's word and I realized, you know, you apply the principles and you just, fear has to go. And the other thing is teaching God's word. Some people are real nervous about that. And I was too, terrified of that. But I applied the principles in the word and I overcame those things. Now I'm so blessed to share God's word with you. I have no reservation whatsoever because I know it's a loving thing to do. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to go in the back of the bus, baby. Fear's gotta get gone. That's it. And then you could do and be free to do all the things God wants you to do in your life. Don't let fear hold you back at all. God's called you to do tremendous things in your life. And don't let fear stop you. It's that love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation. Walking and really living that love. You know, the adversary, he tries to pin us down. And I get this mind picture of like a mouse with a big thumb on its tail. And the adversary is like, "Got him." Ah. And the little mouse is trying to run, you know. Meanwhile, you're more than a conqueror in this life. Who are you going to be? You want to have some fun in your life? Conquer. Because you're more than a conqueror in this life. So fantastic. The first century church, after they received Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, here's something that they did, Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Acts 2, 46. It says, "And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." That word gladness is exultation, extreme joy. And it also, it's much leaping or dancing and rejoicing. You know, they had God's word. They knew they were born again. They spoke in tongues. Christ had come. The Messiah was there. They were living life. They were walking in the word. They were speaking the word. They were so blessed. They were jumping and leaping and dancing. That's how they lived. For my college graduation party, I thought of it too because I just received a graduation party invitation. I called it a jumping for joy graduation party. And I had somebody take pictures of me leaping off of a sill. And they caught me in the air in different positions like Spider-Man. I mean, I graduated from college. I was so happy. I was leaping for joy, you know. And that's just stupid college, which I told my kids I'll homeschool college them if they want to be. So, man. Sometimes you just have no words. You just jump and leap because you're so blessed. Luke 1. Luke 1, 41. It says, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon As the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for what? Ah. And blessed is she that believed. That was Mary. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. John was already leaping in the womb for joy. So awesome. Luke 15. Aaron Schock shared this record with you yesterday. But I just wanted to point out a few more things in this record because it's just too good. It's just too good. The Forgiving Father record, remember? Luke 15, 11. The two sons, you know, the younger wanted to go out and blow it all, right? And the young, verse 13, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Well, that's that reckless kind of fun that ends up not being so fun in the end, if you know what I'm saying. I recently heard a believer say that when they were younger, they thought they couldn't really be happy or have fun if they were in God's word. What do you think I did in my brain when I heard that? That, you know, it would limit their life. Well, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. You know, it comes from religion, religious thinking. Religion makes God look so serious or so sad or mean. Billy Joel had a song, and some of the lyrics were, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. The sinners are much more fun. Billy Joel. But that's what religion makes God look like. It's devilish. You have to flip it. It should be, I'd rather laugh with the saints, the believers, than cry with the sinners. Believers are much more fun. The adversary tricks people. He really tricks people into either not believing at all or getting all religious and stuffy and stupid. Revelation 12:9, you don't have to go there. It says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceiveth the whole world. He deceives and tricks people. You don't need to do stuff off God's word to have fun. I'll tell you that right now. It may look like fun, but ultimately it's stuff that will hurt you. I grew up in God's word. Got in God's word when I was 11, and I had a brother who used heroin, you know, my brother. So I stayed away from drugs and drinking and stuff like that because I had the word. I knew it wasn't cool. And because I saw what it did to my brother. And I still had an awesome time growing up. And so many of my wonderful friends are here and listening that know me. And man, if you knew me as a teenager, I was accused of being on something many times because I was just high on life. I was just blessed. I didn't need any of that stuff, you know? Back to Luke 15, 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to sit in the country, and he sent them into his fields to feed the swine. And he would have filled his belly with the husk that the swines did eat, and no man gave unto him. That riotous living didn't pay off, did it? Verse 17, and when he came to himself, okay, this is a moment here. That means to appear, to become known, to make one's appearance. Sometimes you just come to yourself. And you wake up and you admit what's going on. You just come clean and you get honest with God that maybe you're in left field, you know, and that's great. He said, self, how many hired servants? My father hath bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. That's a genuine change of heart, because it's going to be followed by a positive action. Some people, a lot of talk and don't do anything. That's not much sorrow at all. You're really sorry. You change. You act different. You do something different. Thank God we are sons of God by seed, and that could never be rescinded. You know, verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Can you picture that? Great way off in some desert land on the horizon, dusk or something. Nice picture. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's God. God makes the first move, see? And we need to be like that. We need to make the first move in people's lives. You don't have to let people crawl to you. You can go to them and reach out to them. That's what God does with us, you know? Soon as this guy turned his dad's way, this father saw him a great way off. You know, he makes that first move. He loved us first. He takes the first risk, not knowing what we're going to do. In 2 Corinthians 16:9, you don't have to go there. I'll read it. The first part of it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And you know, when I was a kid, I was told God is watching you as a warning, you know, to keep me in check, right? But that's not this verse. God is looking. He's searching, scanning the whole world for someone to believe in him and trust him. Someone whose heart is perfect toward him. And the heart is that innermost part of the mind. It's where you believe. And perfect here, it's not looking for, he's not looking for a perfect person. Duh, God's not that stupid, right? He's looking for someone who believes his word and his heart is perfect toward him, towards God. And that's complete, full, safe, at peace, whole, and finished. There's just no doubt. This total confidence and trust in God inside your heart, you're whole and at peace and complete. You finished debating. You're settled on God and his word. That's what God is looking for. Back to Luke, verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us be merry. Let us eat and be merry. You know, nothing but the best from God. God's gonna clothe him up, give him some bling, and nice shoes and steak. Sounds like fun. Totally accepted back into the fold, into the family. That's our God, you know. God's word says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, back in fellowship with God. That's our God. And we could count on that all the time. Verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. They began to be merry. That's that rejoicing, glad. He's back. Yahoo, baby. God has no greater joy than to hear those children walk in truth. That's what blesses God. Then his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh into the house. And what did he do? Verse 25, he heard something. What did he hear? He heard music. Now, they did not have an iPad with Bluetooth on a speaker. This was some live music. Had to be. I don't know how he heard dancing, but there was music and there were people dancing. I don't know where you're from, but from where I'm from, that's a party, okay? A party. Doing God's word and having fun. It's just so great. God has no greater joy than to hear that his children walk in truth. To God, it's party time. Not that we just know the truth. Okay? God's not going to jump up for joy just because we know the truth. He's going to do it when we walk in the truth, when we actually do God's word. And that record just exemplifies some of God's wonderful characteristics, which just shows how great our God is. And the rest of that record Aaron covered so greatly. So to close, we'll go to Psalm 100. We're not going to sing it, but in your mind, you can picture yourself singing it if you want to. Psalm 100, it says here, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. A joyful noise. Serve the Lord with what? Even in the Old Testament, they were doing God's word with some gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Why do we sing at fellowship? It's biblical. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Well, now we're sons. We're sons of God. Enter into his gates with what? And Luis did such a tremendous job sharing that. We just are thankful people, no matter what, no matter what's going on. We come into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. This is how we come to God, with great joy and gladness. And you know, there's so much to leap and dance about because we have God in our life and we know a little bit about him. So doing God's word and having fun. God wanted them to have a good time at a wedding. So Jesus Christ's first miracle was turn water into wine. We have great, tremendous freedom in Christ. There's no separation from doing God's word and having fun. When you do God's word, you'll be blessed with your feelings. He wants us to live this wonderful, more than abundant life. You put on the word and love and fear has to go. You don't need to do stuff off God's word to have fun. He's looking, he's watching for that heart of believing. And we can absolutely do God's word and have fun while we're doing it. And I'm doing that right now because this show is fun. I wish I could stay with you longer, but I got to go. I love you. You're the best.